Well, amen. That ought to make a backslidden Baptist want to run a lap this morning. Great, great music. Yes, the church will rise. Amen. And one day the Lord will return and he will make all things right. Those of us who are in Christ will be raised to be with him forever and ever. So we rejoice in that, and that is the blessed hope of the believer. Thank you so much for being here this morning. Would you join me as we pray? Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before your throne this morning to acknowledge that you are the Lord, that you are the God of all flesh. And we thank you, Father, that one day those of us who are in Christ will be raised triumphant to be with you forever. And Lord, how we thank you for loving us enough to send your only Son to come into this world and die for our sins and rise again so that we might know your forgiveness and eternal life. Lord, we pray for a move of your Spirit today. Lord, thank you for everyone who's here. And Lord, I pray that you will speak into each heart and each life. And may we leave here changed today because we've had an encounter with the risen Lord. So Father, glorify your name today. And we ask God that you help us to fix our hearts and minds upon you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you, church. You know, for the past three Wednesday nights, I've been in a series I call Being an I Will Christian. Being an I Will Christian. And so we began the series by focusing on our attitude about church. And it's very important that we have a positive attitude about our church, because your attitude will ultimately be your enemy or your best friend. And so for a healthy church to survive, then we've got to have healthy attitudes about the church. But then we focused on, I will worship with others. And the point of that message was centered around the importance of corporate worship. It's so important that we spend time in corporate worship together. We need each other. And lastly, this past Wednesday night, we talked about I will grow with others. And we talked about the five spiritual stages of spiritual growth. And it's important that we continually grow in our faith in Jesus Christ. And so wherever you are in your spiritual development, it's important that you continue to grow to maturity, where you're a reproducing believer, where you're one of those who is making disciples that make disciples. And so this morning I wanted to continue with the same theme of I will. And I wanted us to focus this morning on I will avoid churchianity. I will avoid churchianity. Now I realize the word churchianity is not a word, but it ought to be. You know, I want you to understand that churchianity is practicing our church and religious beliefs according to man-made standards rather than biblical guidelines. So a lot of American churches are redefining church membership to be something very different than what the Bible teaches. In the last 20 years or so, we've witnessed the dumbing down of church membership and what it really means. There is no formal standard. To many people, church membership just means showing up, just being there. And so there is no plan for spiritual growth, no plan for spiritual development, no expectations. There is no vibrant evangelism strategy. And as a result, many of these churches may grow as a consequence of stealing other churches' disgruntled church members. And so you're really accomplishing nothing for the kingdom of God. And all we're doing is rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic, amen? And so it's important that we understand what it really means to be a member of a New Testament church. I want you to look closely with me at 1 Corinthians 12, verses 27 and 28. Paul says, now you are the body of Christ and individual members of it. Now watch this. And God has placed these in the church. Do you see it? Do you see what biblical church membership is? Members of the church comprise the whole and are essential parts of it. God brought you to the fellowship for kingdom reasons, and God wants to use you in significant ways. Maybe he brought you to be part of the body, to be an ear or an eye or an arm or a leg or a foot, but every part of the body is important, is it not? Every part matters. You know, that's why he says in 1 Corinthians 12:12, "For as the body is one and has many parts, and all the parts of that body, though many, are one body, so also is Christ." So as church members, we are to function. We function together in harmony. We're to sacrifice. We're to practice vibrant Christianity rather than churchianity. Now, I want us to look first at what it means to be a member of a New Testament church. And really, the difference between attenders and members can be summed up in one word. It's the word commitment. Commitment. Now, it's important we understand what commitment means. To the runner, commitment means running another 5 miles when your energy is gone. To the boxer, commitment is getting up one more time than you've been knocked down. To the soldier, commitment is charging the hill, not knowing what's waiting for you on the other side. But listen, to the Christian, commitment is how seriously you take Jesus. So the question lies this morning, how seriously do you really take Jesus Christ and his commands for you? You know, at Pleasant Valley South Baptist Church, we recognize the need for formal membership. And we do so for four reasons. And I want us to look at those. First of all, there's a biblical reason. A biblical reason. And that is that Christ was committed to the church himself, was he not? The church is the bride of Christ. In Ephesians 5:25, it says that Christ loved the church and he gave himself for it. Christ was so committed to the church, he gave his life for it. And so Jesus shed his blood for the church. And so listen, anytime you want to criticize the church, you better realize you're talking about the bride of Christ. And he takes offense to anyone begrudging the name of his bride. Amen or oh me. But secondly, not only is there a biblical reason, but there is a cultural reason. And that is, it's an antidote to our deteriorating society. You know, we live in a culture anymore that isn't committed to anything. Very few people are committed to anything. They're not committed to their job, they're not committed to their marriage, they're not committed to our country. And, you know, this attitude has even found the production of church hoppers and shoppers. Everyone is dissatisfied. So membership swims against the current of America's consumer religion. You know, it's an unselfish decision. And I really believe that commitment always builds character. So there's a biblical reason, there's a cultural reason, but thirdly, there's a practical reason. A practical reason. It defines who can be counted on. And as you know, every team must have a roster. Every army has an enlistment. You know, every business has a payroll. And even our country takes a census and requires voter registration. So membership identifies our family. Membership identifies who can be counted on, who's in and who's out. But then fourthly, there is a personal reason. Membership produces spiritual growth. Spiritual growth. And so the New Testament places a major emphasis on the need for Christians to be accountable to one another. Those of you who were here last Wednesday night, you may remember we talked about God's expectations for our personal growth. And God does require that you and I grow in Christ Jesus. In 2 Peter 3:18, the text says, "But grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." So listen, spiritual growth best takes place in the context of the church, both in corporate worship, like we're gathered here this morning, but also in the small group, in a Sunday school class. Yet today, so many people are dropping out of church. They're walking away. And so biblical illiteracy is a huge problem across America and around the world. So how did our churches get to where they are today? How is it that thousands of churches are closing every year all across America, and their buildings are simply becoming museums? And while they may still be meeting in those buildings, they're really nothing but mausoleums for the frozen chosen. How is that? How is it? You know, some have more interest in political rallies than attending church. How is it that political rallies are filled to overflowing while the church altars are so empty? And church, may I remind you this morning that the kingdom of God is not going to come riding in on Air Force One. The church needs to return to the Lord. America needs the Lord. And more than anything, we need to be seeking Him. While our church is here this morning, and as we look around and we see so many empty pews, empty seats here this morning, it's representative of the fact that we need to step up our game and invite people to come and be in the house of the Lord. And we need to make worship a priority. So how did we get here? Well, I want to suggest five deadly realities taking place in our churches. And I certainly don't intend for this to be a negative message today, but I do want to introduce these ideas to you as a warning. And we need to address them, and we need to correct them. And any of these things that may be true of us, we need to repent of it and turn back to the Lord. But I can promise you this message this morning is going to end on a high note, okay? So it's not going to be all negative, all right? But here's the deal. The first reality we need to look at is that church has become a spectator sport. Church has become a spectator sport. Now, as Brother Eric pointed out, I'm an avid college football enthusiast. I am a Florida State fan until yesterday. But, you know, I found myself screaming at my TV, and, you know, I was ready to throw a brick through my TV there a time or two. And, you know, I found myself questioning the play calls. I found myself questioning the penalties that took place. You know, I found myself questioning the players. I found myself questioning the coach. You know, because I know more than the coach. You know, I can tell him how he needs to run his program. And you know, we can all be that way, can we not? And you know, we participate in the game only as spectators. We don't participate in all the grueling practices those players go through every day. We're not responsible for the enlistment of athletes. We're not the ones trying to find all the five-star players. You know, that's up to the coaches. You know, we don't face those pressures of winning and losing games. Nope, we're just merely the spectators. That's all we are. And if we're not careful, we can treat our church the same way. You know, We're happy to just sit in the stands and scream at the head coach, that is the pastor, or criticize the music selection or grumble about having to find a place to sit because some sinner had the audacity to sit in your chair. Amen? You know, I have a pastor friend who got tired of church business meetings, and particularly the kind where people come in and grumble and growl and whine about everything. So one Sunday evening before a business meeting, he started by saying this: "Before we get started with our business, is there anyone in the house who shared their faith with one person this week?" Crickets. Crickets. But you know what? The congregation got it. They understood the pastor's message there. Listen, we don't exist just for business meetings. We exist to advance the kingdom of God. We exist to make Jesus known to a lost and dying world. And if we're not doing that, we need to be out of business. And so they got the message. But what I want to say to you this morning is, by and large, for many churches, church has become merely a spectator sport. You're just here to see what happens. But secondly, church has become all about me. Church has become all about me. You know, when we have a country club mentality about the church, we simply don't serve. We don't serve. Instead, we want to be served. We paid our dues through the years. Now we expect other people to work for us. You know, here are some examples of what it sounds like to be a follower of churchianity. I told the pastor what I want him to preach, but he just doesn't listen to me. You know, the pastor or staff did not visit my third cousin's nephew in the hospital, even though I told them to. You know, I told the minister of music my favorite songs, and he never sings them. Here's another one, and here's a glorious one. Don't mess with my Sunday school class. But you get the picture. Listen, biblical church life is all about serving the Lord through the church. It's about putting the needs of others ahead of our own. But then there's a third one I want to share with you, and that is that church is about dwelling on its flaws. Dwelling on its flaws. You know, we shouldn't be surprised when we find imperfections in the church, any church. And you know what? I shared with a crowd here a couple of weeks ago, this church is imperfect. You know why? It's because I'm a member of it, and I'm a far shot from perfect. I'm a far shot from perfect. And I guess if we're all really honest with ourselves, we would all be willing to say, you know, Brother Richard, I'm not so perfect either. And so we are a church. We're a body of believers. We're a body of people made up of folks who are imperfect. You know, the Corinthian church had its issues. In 1 Corinthians alone, we find an enormous amount of flaws in that fledgling congregation. Let me share with you some of the problems they had. Listen, church members had cliques and personality cults. You know, there was a significant amount of carnal behavior. In fact, some too awful to even mention from this pulpit. Church leaders didn't deal with sexual immorality and perversion in the church. Church members were taking each other to court. You know, the church did not discipline members who had fallen into sin. There was a huge misunderstanding about spiritual gifts that led to friction within the fellowship. Then there were abuses of the Lord's Supper. Listen, there were folks actually getting drunk at the Lord's Supper. The church was dealing with heresies concerning the resurrection. All those things were true of the church at Corinth. Wouldn't you love to be a pastor of that church? But all of those things were true. And you thought your church had problems. But listen, the gospel is the story of what God did for us through his son, Jesus Christ. The gospel is all about salvation by grace alone through Christ alone. And listen, the gospel is about Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. He is our substitute. He is the one we've come to this morning to worship. And this morning, we need to fix our hearts and our minds upon Christ. He is the one we adore. He is the one we worship. It's not our silly preferences. But Jesus Christ is Lord. And we come this morning to fix our minds and hearts upon Him, to attribute to Him our highest praise, because He is worthy. He is worthy. So how do we respond to the gift of Jesus? You know, many times if we're real honest, we would have to admit that we don't always respond well. We gripe and we bellyache, we murmur, we say terrible things about others, we're critical of the pastor and staff. But listen, all of these things are symptomatic of churchianity and not biblical church membership. So take a good look around you this morning. You're surrounded by people who need grace just like you do. We all need grace. We all need God's mercy. But lastly this morning, I want to say to you, the church has low expectations. Low expectations. And here is how I know when a church is dying. It's when they have low to zero expectations. There's no fire. There's no zeal. There's no passion. They're just lukewarm at best. So let me ask you something. Did Jesus have anything to say about lukewarm Christianity? You bet He did. He said in Revelation 3, verses 15 and 16, I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Lukewarmness makes Christ sick. And He would prefer we're either hot or cold. Pick one. But do not pick lukewarmness. You know, several years ago, I did a consultation for a church down in rural Georgia. It was in South Georgia. And the pastor was showing him around his facility, and we got to the baptistry area. And we opened it up, and I took a look at the baptistry. You will never guess what I saw in their baptistry. It was Christmas decorations. They had old Christmas trees and ornaments and all that laying in the baptistry. And I looked at the pastor and I said, I mean, is this here just temporarily? The pastor said, oh no, we're an older congregation and we're really not expecting anyone to be baptized. So we just keep our stuff in the baptistry. So what I did when I left there, I wrote a report as my consultation to the church. And you know what I told the pastor? I said, your church needs to repent. Guess what? I never got invited back. Amen? I never got invited back. I can't imagine why. But I'm here to tell you, that church needs to repent. And any church that loses sight of taking the gospel to the lost needs to repent. And so, a church that has low expectations is lukewarm at best. But fifthly, I want to say to you that church has become cliquish and clannish. And we all know what that means. And you and I both have been on the receiving end of warm or cold welcomes into groups. It's a painful experience. You know, cliques and clans are unhealthy to a group. And when a group or even a church becomes cliquish, it's lost its sight of its mission. So every church and every group should guard against the cancer of cliquishness. Listen, everyone should be made welcome here. And listen, if you're a guest here today, we want you to know you are welcome here. You are special to us, and we value you, and we're so glad that you're here. Listen, everyone has worth, and we need to go out of our way to make sure everyone is properly connected to the body of Christ. You know, this morning we've talked about churchianity, and I guess there's a whole lot more we could say about it, but I think it's time to move on and talk about the solution to churchianity. I know all that sounded negative, but here's the good news. The solution for churchianity is two words: the cross. The cross. Jesus said in Luke 9:23, "If any man would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." Listen, you and I are charged to take up our cross every day. You know what that means? It means we die to our selfish agendas. We are to die to our silly preferences. And our task each day is to follow the Master wherever He leads us. We are to follow. And so we take up our cross and humbly follow Him in obedience. Listen, do you want a life that is fulfilled, a life that is joyful, a life that has meaning? It begins at the cross. When you take up your cross and you choose to die to self, to embrace the mission and the mandate and the will of Christ for your life, that's where joy begins. Listen, friends, the true gospel is a call to self-denial, not a call to self-fulfillment. Listen, there's a price tag for following Jesus. You cannot stay where you are and follow Jesus at the same time. It means you die to self. Listen, the Christian life is not all about you. It's not all about me. In today's narcissistic and self-focused and consumeristic culture, we need to return to teaching and embracing the call of Christ to take up your cross daily and follow Him. You know, in 1980, a Rwandan Christian was severely persecuted for his faith. His tribal leaders demanded that he renounce his faith or be killed. This Rwandan Christian chose death. So the night before this happened, he wrote a note and left it in his home for others to read, and he entitled it, "The Charge." And it vividly expressed his devotion and commitment to Christ. And his words are a nuclear bomb to churchianity and should express the hearts of every born-again believer. Listen to this. This is what he wrote. "I'm part of the fellowship of the unashamed. I have Holy Spirit power. The die has been cast. I have stepped over the line. The decision has been made. I'm a disciple of His. I won't look back, let up, slow down, back away, or be still. My past is redeemed. My present makes sense. My future is secure. I'm finished and done with low living, sight walking, small planning, smooth knees, colorless dreams, tamed visions, mundane talking, cheap living, and dwarf goals. I no longer need preeminence, prosperity, position, promotions, plaudits, or popularity. I don't have to be right, first, tops, recognized, praised, regarded, or rewarded. I now live by faith, lean on His presence, walk by patience, live by prayer, and labor by power. My face is set, my gate is fast, my goal is heaven, my road is narrow, my way is rough, my companions are few, my guide is reliable, my mission is clear. I cannot be bought, compromised, detoured, lured away, turned back, deluded, or delayed. I will not flinch in the face of sacrifice, hesitate in the presence of the adversary, negotiate at the table of the enemy, ponder at the pool of popularity, or meander in the maze of mediocrity. I won't give up, shut up, or let up until I have stayed up, stored up, prayed up, paid prayed up and preached up for the cause of Christ. I am a disciple of Jesus. I must go till he comes, give till I drop, preach till I'll know, and work till he stops me. And when he comes for his own, he will have no trouble recognizing me. My banner will be clear. So friends, I'm here to tell you this morning, if those words describe you, I want to welcome you to the fellowship of the unashamed. That's church, not churchianity. This is the real deal. When we're sold out to Christ, our pastor's retiring. Our pastor's retiring, and I know some of you are concerned about our future. But I'm here to tell you this morning that regardless of who's in this pulpit, the mission and the message will never change. The message will always be the cross of Christ and man's need of redemption, that there is hope to be found in the blood of Jesus. Our love and devotion to Christ and his people will not change either. Listen, our future is bright because Jesus is still on the throne. I look around this room today and I see many of you who express the passion of this Rwandan pastor I just shared with you a moment ago. Your passion is real and vibrant, and because of you, this church has a great future. Listen, today is a time for you to step up, not step out. The church needs you. Listen, the Lord Jesus added you to this fellowship for kingdom reasons, and he brought you here for such a time as this. Do not be one of those to just step out and abandon ship, but you be one of those that stiffens your spine and you step up to the plate and you say, Lord Jesus, I'm all in. Regardless of what may happen, I'm here. You can count on me. I'm taking up my cross and I will follow you. May that be true of you, and may that be true of me. Pleasant Valley South Baptist Church, I want to encourage you today. This church has a bright future because Jesus is the Lord of this church. We're going to have a time of invitation here in just a minute. And maybe you're here this morning and you've heard all about this churchianity stuff. You've heard about church membership and what all that means. But listen, if you're here this morning and you're outside of Christ, church membership is not going to afford you 2 seconds in heaven. You need a personal relationship with Jesus. There needs to be a time in your life where you recognize your sinfulness, your lostness before holy God, and you recognize that God loves you and he sent his son Jesus into this world to die for your sins and to be raised from the dead. And the promise is this, that anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And listen, if you've never received Christ, today is your day. We're praying that you will leave here today changed forever with your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. May that be true of you today. And maybe you need some help with that. When we stand in just a moment and sing, I'll be standing down front. And I would love for you to come and just say, Brother Richard, I need to be saved. And we would be very glad to help you with that decision. Maybe you're here this morning and you're a longtime member of Pleasant Valley South Baptist Church. And maybe you just need to renew your commitment to the Lord. We've talked all about what commitment means. Maybe this morning you feel the need in your heart to renew your commitment to serve the Lord faithfully. Maybe you've been waffling, you know, in your commitment and not as faithful as you once were. But today is a new day, and we invite you to come and just renew that commitment. Whether it's in your seat or even here at the altar, we invite you to do just that. And maybe you're here this morning and you're a guest with us today, and maybe you're thinking to yourself, well, I don't know that I should join that church until they get a new pastor. Listen, regardless of who is in this pulpit, we want you to know that Pleasant Valley South is a loving congregation of people who will love you, who will encourage you, and help you to grow in Christ's likeness. Every Christian needs to belong to a church family. And that's why we insist on biblical church membership. And so we would invite you to come and join this fellowship of wonderful believers who will help you grow in Christ Jesus. But this morning, all over this room are people who need to make commitments of some type or another. And this is not my invitation, but it's the Spirit of the living God who is inviting you to obey the Lord. Over in the FLC, Brother Eric will be up front along with the praise band, and you're there and you're wondering the same thing. You know, Lord, what do you want me to do? The answer is just obey. Just obey the Lord and trust Him to guide you to all that He wants you to be. But today, the Lord desires for all of us to step up to the plate and be found faithful. Take up our cross and follow Him. Let's pray. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we thank you so much for your word. Lord, we thank you that you are still calling men and women and boys and girls to a relationship with you. And Lord, I pray for anyone who may be here today that's not saved, that they would come to know you today. And Lord, I pray that every heart and every life in these facilities today would be entirely focused on Jesus and will seek to recommit ourselves, Lord, to absolute obedience in every area of our lives. Lord, may our membership here mean something. Lord, may we not be satisfied with just being spectators, but Lord, may we step up and may we serve. May we be part of a team that is moving the ball down the field, Lord. No more victory formations, but Lord, we are moving the ball down the field. So God, I pray for this church, Lord, for you to do amazing things today. O Spirit of the living God, move among us, bring glory to Jesus, and we'll thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together as we sing.